Now, the hospitality sector has been warned that compliance with COVID-19 guidelines is essential if the government is to continue with the current level of openness. The industry has been called to a meeting by the Department of An Taoiseach, which will take place next Tuesday. They were warned in the email that a collective effort is needed to reduce the burden of disease and mortality of this latest wave. Adrian Cumming, CEO of the Restaurants Association of Ireland, is here with us in studio. Good afternoon, Adrian.
Good afternoon, Katie.
So you've been asked to this meeting on Tuesday. Do you know who is actually going to be at that meeting? Will you be there?
We received an invitation late last night from the Department of An Taoiseach via email. Our association will be there. I'm assuming all the other trade associations will be there as well, based on media reports. We will be meeting with officials from Department of Taoiseach, Enterprise and Tourism. The main thrust of the meeting is to discuss the COVID pass and implementation of the inspections of the COVID pass within hospitality. They will also present survey results that they have that we haven't seen yet around compliance. We'd like to see that in advance.
This is reported, I think, yes, in a number of the papers this morning. So it's saying things like that compliance, people are saying that while previously the figure was 21% were not being asked for their COVID pass, that has shot up now to 37%.
Well, I haven't seen this survey results. I haven't seen the data to analyse it, but I will say this.
Yeah, but this ESRI survey data is put up on the Taoiseach's website every 2 weeks.
Any business that is not complying with the COVID pass should. And we're saying very clearly here, we have 7 weeks and 3 days to Christmas. It's a very critical time for our industry as we manage as we get to Christmas from a hospitality perspective. But we need to protect public health as well. And it has to be a collective effort by our industry, by the public, and by the country at large to protect the health of the nation. We want to keep our businesses open fully. We're not open fully in a trading environment. We need to remain where we are at the moment and continue to do so as we get through this difficult time.
But if does that figure shock you? 37% of people saying they're not being asked for their COVID passes going into hospitality.
It's not what I'm seeing on the ground, because I call to businesses on a daily basis, and I was in three businesses this morning, and all three businesses asked me correctly for my COVID pass.
Do you think
pass.
They might have known that you were Adrian Cumming, CEO of the Restaurants Association?
No, not necessarily, because these businesses were... When I entered into the premises, they asked for my COVID cert. They checked it there and then. All three were compliant, in my view. But I want to be very clear around this. You have businesses across the country that in rural areas where they know their customers and they know they're vaccinated, they are not going to ask them every day they go into that business, or else the narrative has to come from the government that must be the policy now going forward. And every day, you know your regular coming in, they must be asked. So we need to clarify that with the officials on Tuesday.
That email, as we quoted it there in the introduction, saying that if the current level of openness, and that's the quote, is to continue, the hospitality industry must ensure compliance with COVID-19 guidelines, and that this is considered best practice rather than minimum standard to protect communities. With that kind of language there, are you concerned where this might be heading for your industry now?
I am deeply concerned with that language now from the government, in the context that we have 93% of our population fully vaccinated, compared to the average across the European Union at 75%. The Irish public have stepped up to the plate around the vaccination programme. We have done everything in our power to start to live with COVID over the last number of weeks. So we have to have a plan B and C. But plan B and C cannot...
Now, when you say you are deeply concerned that what might happen now?
Well, I'm deeply concerned that we will be told that there's a potential of going backwards for hospitality at a time where we have 93% of the population fully vaccinated.
Restrictions will be reintroduced, is what you're saying.
Yes, and we need to have clarity that is not on the cards for our industry. We want to make sure that we stay open, remain open, and also protect public health. But in the context of 7 weeks and 3 days into the most busiest time for hospitality, at a time where the government have always said it was the vaccine wall was the panacea to try and fight against COVID, we've done that as a nation. Now we need to look at the capacity within our hospital system. Is the capacity ramped up enough so that we are able to get through the winter months or not? Or is hospitality going to be the fall guy again?
But you know the officials are going to say to you, well, you know, if you can't tell us that you're going to actually abide by the COVID cert guidelines and the compliance that we require, we can't give you those kind of guarantees.
Well, we've done everything in our power to get our industry to do what they have to do.
Are they being, like, is there inspections from the HSE and the HSA of premises?
Not on the ground from what I can see. Not on the ground from what I can see. And there is actually no hotline for any member of the public to make a complaint. We have multi-agency approach to this that we don't see on the ground across the country. And if there is...
Now, we have been told that those inspections are happening.
Well,
this is being stepped up.
We don't see it right across the country. We don't see a blitz effort on this. And we've called for this at the very beginning. We called for this back in August, that you have to have a multi-agency approach, that if these businesses are not doing the right thing and dragging down the rest of the industry, they have to have sanctions around that. I'm asking for that now.
Okay, Christmas parties. Are you getting bookings?
We're getting a huge amount of interest in Christmas parties. But people will, the Irish public will.
Are you taking bookings?
Yes, we are. Yeah. We are. And we're doing it within the guidelines. And we want to do this properly, correctly and safely. But just to be very clear here, the Irish public will do the right thing. And they have done so right through this pandemic. We want to try and keep our businesses open, protect the public health and get through Christmas to the far side and to the new year.
Niall Collins, if I can bring you in and just to explain to people, Niall is in our Limerick studio. That line there, that with these premises are not actually being inspected for compliance with COVID guidelines.
Good afternoon, Katie. I think Adrian Cummins has given a very fair assessment and overview and an input from the industry perspective. We've said quite clearly right throughout the pandemic, the government alone cannot defeat the pandemic, can't defeat the virus. We can put in place vaccinations, we can put in place procedures and guidelines, but we have to have as much buy-in as possible from all of the stakeholders, including the public and, in this instance, people involved in the hospitality industry. So your question that you're posing to me there in relation to the HSE, HSA, the Gardaí, in terms of on-the-spot inspections, I'm just not in a position to answer that for you.
Does it surprise you to hear Adrian Cummins saying that they're hearing that there is none of this happening on the ground?
Yes, it does surprise me and it would concern me. Now, they're independent agencies and they have a remit and a responsibility to carry out, you know, these operations. It's their operational independence. And if what Adrian is saying is the case, I think that's a concern and something that will have to be stepped up. But suffice to say this, look, government has been quite clear all along. You know, the pandemic and the virus gives us, at every point in time, huge, huge uncertainty. So nothing can be ever ruled out emphatically, and the virus hasn't and the pandemic hasn't been beaten conclusively. But equally, the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach and government have been clear in saying that they haven't discussed or they haven't contemplated the reintroduction of any restrictions or lockdowns, or in other words, a reversal of where we are. We've been quite clear in relation to that. And I think, in fairness...
Well, what they've said is that they can't rule them out. I mean, do you Adrian Cummins is obviously worried now that what they're being brought in to be told next week is to be softened up basically for what might maybe be coming down the line.
My take on it is this, Katie. Look, we're all human and human nature kicks in every now and then, and people, we forget ourselves and we get relaxed and we get comfortable in our own skins in terms of people let our standards slip. And I think we have to stop and we have to check ourselves and we have to remind ourselves the virus is still here, we're still in the midst of the global pandemic, and that we have these restrictions and these guidelines, moreover, they're there for a reason, to protect public health and also to protect the businesses and to allow them to stay open. That's the most important thing. So,
sorry to cut across you, Niall Collins. Do you have any further information about that meeting? Is it going to be just officials from the department? Is there going to be NPHET members at it?
I don't, unfortunately. I've just heard about it probably as soon as yourselves, but suffice to say this, I think as many, and Adrian has given his input in relation to it, I think as many industry reps as possible should be able to attend, and obviously people from the official side. But I think the message has to go out loud and clear, and we get an opportunity in a forum like this, that we have to be mindful and we have to adhere to the guidelines that we're being asked to enforce, because they're there for a reason. And you saw on the Dáil during the week, we extended the emergency powers for a period of 3 months. That is for a reason, and that is based on the advice that we've been given, the public health advice which we've been given by NPHET.
OK, Adrian, do you know the answer to that question? Is NPHET going to be involved, or members of NPHET going to be involved at this meeting, as far as you know?
Well, NPHET have never turned up for a meeting with us in the hospitality industry right through this pandemic. And we've asked for them to be in the room so we could speak directly to them. Now, we did have officials from the Department of Health when the COVID pass was developed. But ever since, we've never had a direct conversation with either of health officials or an effort. And I think we have to have a collective focus on this, that we're all in the same boat, we're all going in the right direction, and we want to achieve the one thing. So I believe NPHET should be there next Tuesday.
Okay. Richard Boyd Barrett, I'm just looking at a text we've got in here. NPHET looking for a scapegoat now that everything they said would work hasn't. They should have focused on antigen test, ventilation and bigger ICU. That's from Owen.
I tend to agree with some of those points. I mean, the public have done their bit in spades, and better than anywhere else in Europe in terms of the take-up of the vaccine. We still need to convince another cohort out there to take it up, but we've done well, and I would actively encourage people to take up the vaccine. I do think the government need to engage with the hospitality sector.
Like, you were very critical of the hospitality sector last year, around this time last year, because of their pushing to open up.
Because at that particular point in time, we didn't have a vaccine, okay? And we knew that if we opened up at that stage, that the health service would be overrun. OK, we're now at a stage where we've 92% of people vaccinated and we still have the virus. So the vaccination is not going to eliminate it.
Do you think we should be looking, that Adrian's members should be looking down the barrel at perhaps more restrictions as we run into Christmas?
I what's the point in going back if we're just going to bounce in and out of restrictions? I don't see how that resolves the problem we're now in, right? And so I think, first of all, we do have to ramp up the ICU levels so that we can both have COVID and non-COVID care, which are critically low, and that's to do with staffing capacities and so on. I do think the issue of ventilation, we've no legislation on ventilation. We've actually put forward legislation on this. There should be legislation on ventilation. They do need to obviously engage with the hospitality sector, the event sector and so on, about how can we actually manage these things. And then I think, you know, obviously the question of antigen testing and, you know, availability of testing being widespread, because some of that has been pulled back. I think we have to have that available as well.
OK, more text coming in here. I was in a big Dublin pub on Thursday at lunchtime. I asked the bar person, did they want to see my COVID pass? They replied they don't look for it and shook their head. And this texter said they walked out. And we have an email in saying, I was out last night in Cork. No masks worn by bar staff or by people when leaving tables. Had a sign-in book, but some young people did not sign it. A disgrace, the attitude to guidelines. The premises had a camera and can see if the guards are calling. Adrian, that's just two texters there. I'm sure if we sat here for the day, we could have plenty more of those.
And you probably will. And we... But I have said very clearly on this, we need collectively, not just the industry, but the public as well, needs to engage with us to do the right thing over the next 7 weeks. We have the next four weeks.
Because a lot of these bar, there doesn't seem to be a fear of any sanction if they breach these guidelines. That seems to be, you know, that must be what the feeling is if it's so widespread.
Well, if we remember back to the €9 meal, we had guards arriving into premises checking for the €9 meal. So we have to look at how do we make sure that we get everybody on the same page, we do the right thing and keep our industry fully open. So we have to have all parts of the inspectorate, be it Gardaí, HSE, HSA, Fáilte Ireland, involved in this for the next 7 weeks.
Okay, Claire Curran.
I think it's concerning to hear what Adrian has said in relation to a lack of inspections. I mean, you've just said there about maybe businesses and premises not having that fear of sanctions. I mean, they certainly won't have them if inspections aren't taking place in the first instance. And look, I think it's also important to say the vast majority of businesses out there in the hospitality sector have done the right thing, and they're doing the right thing day in, day out to keep their staff and their customers safe. But clearly there's an issue here. But I mean, aside from the hospitality sector, the government have a role role to play here as well. So we need to get to the bottom of inspections, but we also need to look towards our health service, and we need to make sure that we increase capacity, that we get those booster shots into the arms of our frontline staff as quickly as possible, because where we're seeing the greatest pressure is in our hospitals and on the frontline, and we need to protect them in the weeks and months ahead, especially at this time of year.
Niall Collins, why hasn't the winter plan been published yet? We're well into November now.
Yeah, I gather it's imminent. There's no doubt that our health services are under huge pressure. But I think the important point to restate is that the vaccination programme has been a huge success, and that the firewall of vaccinations is withstanding in terms of the conversion of cases to people with serious illness. And that's a real positive. As of yesterday, we had 76 people in ICU, and that was down from the previous Friday of 97 people in ICU. So that, coupled with the booster campaign and the rollout of that, and that will happen very, very quickly. The infrastructure is in place. As we know, the 35 vaccination centres are still in place and still functional and operating, and can be scaled up and scaled down as required. Our GPs and our pharmacies are also available. There's no shortage of vaccinations in terms of the supply of the vaccine. So that's very positive also. And we see the news in relation to the most recent news, particularly in relation to Pfizer and the pill.
That's very promising, I'm sure. That may be a game changer.
That will be a huge, huge help also. I think the data from the trials show, I think, up to 90% of people didn't require, who contacted COVID, didn't require hospitalisation or didn't result in serious illness as part of the trials. Hugely, hugely positive. And there are other solutions out there. I'm speaking to you here from Limerick. Regeneron have an antiviral also. So that there will be other medicines and advances in medicine coming down the line.
Right. Can I ask you about ventilation? Richard Boyd Barrett mentioned it there. The latest figures given to us from the Department of Education telling us that there was in excess of 35,400 monitors delivered to primary and post-primary schools nationwide. This was at a cost of €4 million. But why have we not installed HEPA air filters in our classrooms? Yeah. There's a lot of research and data out there to indicate that these would make a huge difference, especially at primary level, where children are not wearing masks, are not required to wear masks. Wouldn't that be very useful now, when we're getting reports of children freezing to death in their classrooms because the windows and the doors have to be left open?
Yeah, well, the first thing to say is that the advice and the point being made by our public health advisors is that schools are generally safe, are safe places. You're right in saying 35,400 CO2 monitors have been distributed to our schools right across the country. There is a very active working group within the Department of Education who are available to and in contact with schools as needs be. In terms of ventilation, if schools need additional help or resourcing in that, there's dedicated contact points.
Is it a cost issue now, Collins?
There's funding available for schools if they have to carry through the minor works grant scheme, if they have to carry out further works in relation to ventilation.
But I'm talking about HEPA air filters.
Yeah, I can't specifically speak to that at the moment. I know it's something which is being considered by the subgroup within the department. It is obviously topical and timely this time of year as we move into winter, when ventilation does become an issue in terms of...
Well, topical and timely, but how long are we now, 18 months into this, and it is still not on the cards for primary schools to have HEPA filters in their classrooms?
Yeah, well, I just can't give you an answer. I'm being honest with you.
Let me ask Adrian, who might be able to give me an answer. Are restaurants installing HEPA filters?
Not HEPA filters. What we've been advised is that you have to have quality airflow, fresh air going in through. Basically, open your windows, open your doors to allow a fresh airflow within the restaurant. That's within the guidelines.
You wanted to get in there, Richard.
Yeah, first of all, I just don't buy the narrative that in fact, all the pattern everywhere in the world is when schools go back. And now, by the way, they have to go back. So there's no question about that. They have to go back. We need our kids to be in school, but that rates go up. And so we need to have proper ventilation. And you think about half our schools are most of our schools are totally overcrowded classrooms, some of the most overcrowded in Europe. Many of them are in temporary, completely inadequate school buildings. So there has to be a much more proactive, aggressive policy by the government to actually give schools the resources to properly ventilate them. We need to roll out the HEPA filters, and indeed that also I think could be a significant impact for the hospitality and events sector to have the HEPA filters in there as well. And one other thing just to mention, by the way, in terms of the good news, and it is good news about, you know, the vaccine's efficacy and about new medicines,
yeah.
but the patent restrictions that are preventing those things, the vaccines, and it'll be the same with the new therapies getting to huge parts of the developed world, is going to be a major, major problem in tackling the virus in the future. And Europe have been particularly bad in defending the indefensible of patent and intellectual property restrictions on these drugs, because a lot of the companies happen to be based in Europe.
Just before we leave this, can I ask about the Christmas party? You say you're getting the book. Should people be organising Christmas parties now, knowing what we know? Claire Curran.
I think a lot of people will be slow enough to organise them because of the uncertainty that is there, really.
They are apparently organising.
I'm sure they are in some cases, but I mean, you can organise a Christmas party tomorrow. It doesn't mean it's going to go ahead. I think there's an awful lot of uncertainty. A lot of people don't know what to do. They're hopeful. But again, if we're seeing continued issues in relation to what's been brought up now in relation to the hospitality sector, then we are going to have problems moving forward. And I would say it is important that that meeting goes ahead, of course, on Tuesday, but that the government have a role to play and that they play it, and they need to look at the health service. And just in relation to schools, I would make the point the CO2 monitors are not working. It is freezing now. We're leaving windows open in schools. Children are getting cold. If they have a bit of a snuffle or a cough in the morning, they can't go to school. It's putting parents in really difficult positions, and it's also putting principals and teachers, we have a substitution crisis like never before in our schools, and it's really putting school leaders, and I don't agree with Niall Collins that level of communication is there between public health and our schools. I think they're out on their own in a lot of cases, and I think it needs to be looked at.
Can I just ask you, Niall, before we leave it, about the Christmas party issue? I saw your colleague, ministerial colleague, Simon Harris, saying that it's not for government to be telling young people how they should socialise. But should we be putting out warnings now in relation to something like Christmas parties?
Well, I think the message that I would give to people is that it's a personal choice, but adhere to the guidelines and adhere to best practice, and the CMO
distant Christmas party.
Yeah, but look, the CMO has also advised in the last number of days, given the numbers, that we should consider every social contact that we make, and we should consider trying to reduce our number of social contacts. So, you know, it's a personal decision. I'm not going to say to people, don't do it. People can operate and move, you know, we know what we can do within the guidelines and given the restrictions. But what I would say to people is, think twice about doing it. Do you really need to do it? And what's the potential downside?
Adrian?
The difference between now and last year is we have the vaccine. We also have the COVID pass. The COVID pass will tell you whether you're vaccinated.
That only works if you're asked for it.
Correct. And that's where we need to have the conversation on Tuesday with government. So I wouldn't be jumping up and down now that we should be banning all Christmas parties. I think this is where we need calm heads collectively. Sit down Tuesday. We need to plan a way forward for the next 7 weeks.
Okay, we'll leave that there. We'll take a break.